Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube poll for today. Do you approve of Donald Trump's ballroom addition to the White House? Yes or no? I'm going to be honest. I probably thought that there was a ballroom at the White House already.
Yeah, I guess I would have too.
So my understanding and experience of a lot of these things has to do with watching a lot of television shows that have to do with the White House. For instance, House of Cards. I watched Designated Survivor. That was a good show until it went to Netflix and they just tried to raunch it up. It was so disappointing. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Mm-mm.
He might have been the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and he was an independent, and he's the designated survivor, and then, of course.
Oh, okay.
So he becomes the president as an independent. And basically, he's moderate left.
Of course, because it's on TV.
Yes. I don't want to say this, and then someone be like, oh, this in this particular episode. I don't ever remember him like championing conservative values on issues. And I do remember sometimes him going all the way left and woke. And then Designated Survivor, if you don't know what Designated Survivor is, I think a lot of people do, but maybe some people don't. For instance, when the State of the Union address is given, it's given at the Capitol building. And that is where everybody is in one building at one time for what? 90 minutes-ish. They have one person who's in the chain of succession stay back in case the worst of the worst happens. And that person, if the worst of the worst happened, would then become the president of the United States. It's usually not the vice president who stays back, because the vice president is in the chair directly behind the president who's delivering the speech. So is the Speaker of the House.
Yes, I was going to say, so is the Speaker.
Yeah. You've got the justices there. Not all of them always, though. Sometimes they don't go. And if you've ever watched the State of the Union, you'll see that a lot of times the justices, they just sit there. They don't react to anything.
Right.
They aren't in a position where they're like, yeah, you're my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
No, they don't stand up and yell, you lie.
No, that's the Congresswomen specifically. But in Designated Survivor, the first episode, this is a really good example of this is why we can't have nice things. I think two seasons, my recollection is two seasons were on network TV. And the show was pretty fantastic. And then they did two more episodes on Netflix. And it was all about every woke thing that you could possibly insert, but like the graphic version of it.
Okay.
And it was like, why are we here? I liked your show. House of Cards, did you ever watch any of that?
No, I just don't like dramas, especially political dramas.
You're like the drama starter.
No, I'm not.
See,
you are.
Look at you. Gotta fight about everything. House of Cards, Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright. He starts off as I think he's the House Whip. So he's in Congress. And through a series of I don't know if it would be unfortunate events for him, but he becomes the president of the United States naturally. In the middle of that, he got in criminal trouble for some nasty things. So they had to, like, they just killed him. And Robin Wright became the president towards the end as the first lady. And they're like the worst of the worst. It's a hopeless show. Everything is depraved. Nobody is redeemable.
Oh, gosh.
Everything is awful. And that's kind of... Game of Thrones was kind of like that. Jon Snow, to me, was maybe redeemable. But there was a wave of shows where everything is just full depravity. You think someone is good, I'll show you how they're bad. Like, that was the premise of the show. Sopranos is probably like that. But at the same time, Sopranos, I mean... Here you are, like you, Tony Soprano. You guys didn't watch that either, did you?
I know the show well enough, but no.
Tony Soprano is like leading the mob or mafia or whatever it is. And it's weird. He's a lovable guy. You're kind of cheering for him. It's the weirdest thing ever. He's a filthy, depraved, self-centered wretch of a man. But you're watching the show and you're just learning the intricacies of his life. And so you're invested, you're interested, whatever. Can you have shows on television now where there are good people? Worthy, redeemable people? Not complex people, not one-sided characters, but like on the whole, redeemable characters.
Yeah, I would say I would still say that the majority of shows have characters like that. It's just what makes them good is always the question. Because usually with most left-leaning Hollywood morals, or I wouldn't even say Hollywood morals anyway, just sort of industry morals at this point, your redeemable characters are ones that are socially minded. They're justice warriors, at least lightly.
I think your redeemable people are actually people just who have good intentions. Mm-hmm. Like true, kind, good intentions. They're not perfect people. They're fallible people because all people are fallible. You can't, if you're somebody who is presented in a way that is all good all the time, nobody likes that because nobody is like that. But I think if you look back on the last probably 20 years of television, I think really a part of the culture rot that we've had is this idea that you could have these really reprehensible, debaucherous characters on our shows that were super popular that people did like. I mean, I watched The Sopranos all the way through. I thought it was a good TV show, but it's like, I'm not proud to say that. I'm actually kind of embarrassed to say that because it's just truly deplorable. So our culture, I think that the reason why these shows have been successful and been pushed so much is because they were part of the tearing down of culture as we know it, of what is normal, and it gets people to think differently about what is good and right.
Mm-hmm.
That's intentional, isn't it?
Oh, it's very intentional. And the writers may not even say, well, we're trying to push a social agenda, but it's what they believe. They're taking their own worldview and inserting it into the morality of what they write. And when you write drama, especially, although this could be inserted into anything, but especially with drama, it's all about right and wrong. I mean, you're really just
and the
having
struggle,
characters
yes.
fight over what is good and what's bad all the time. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's a bigger issue, but of course it's going to make its way in.
Doug says on YouTube, The Diplomat on Netflix is my favorite current political drama. I'm really interested. I'm very interested to hear that because I know Doug in real life, and the two leads in The Diplomat are Bradley Whitford.
Oh.
And Allison Janney. Allison Janney is C.J. Craig in The West Wing, and Bradley Whitford is Josh Lyman. So they were in The West Wing together pretty much for the whole run of the show. And I know that I've seen a lot about The Diplomat as a new political drama where I think she becomes the president and he is her husband. And I was like, I kind of have an idea where this is going. I just think that there's room for a political show right now that isn't House of Cards depraved and is, you know, Veep was very successful. I didn't watch Veep. I've heard good things on both sides of the aisle about Veep. But I do think that these shows that are produced, that people consume, are important measures of culture. And also, it's been wild to watch something like The West Wing with my kids and explain to them. They can't really grasp this concept. We'll watch two or three episodes a night. And you can tell, I always like pause and go, oh, what episode is this? Oh, it's the season finale. Because you can tell, like all of a sudden things it's are built. Getting really intense. And we'll watch the season finale and they'll go, well, we can't stop there. And I'm like, well, in the old days, you would not just stop there. You would wait like 8 months before you found out what would happen next. But in that, ER, Friends, you know, you could probably think of other ones to add in there. These were cultural gathering points for people to be in the same place at the same time and then have something similar to talk about. It would really truly bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
So what you thought about the ER episode that night before, it doesn't have anything to do with what you think about President Trump demolishing a wall in the East Wing so that he can put in a ballroom, because that's what people talk about now.
Yeah. Well, you could say that sports still does that to an extent.
Not on the whole for women.
But no, yeah, that's probably true. You could say that there still are rollouts of shows on streaming platforms, but usually they all roll out at once. And that's it. You don't have to do the waiting. It's not.
Yeah.
It's all at
Stranger
the same time.
Stranger Things would release on the weekly.
Right.
I remember WandaVision and Disney Plus did. But like, you got to have Netflix.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, it's
you
not
gotta have
common
Disney
to
Plus.
Everybody, right?
It's not
that's
network
true
TV where everybody has it.
The only one left that I can think of, aside from sports, but you make a good point that it's not everybody either. It is major, like huge Hollywood release movies, and it's not that everybody sees them at the same time, but a massive Marvel movie comes out. Most people are going to at least be aware of it.
Harry Potter,
your blockbuster movies, which is really a lot of what Hollywood is anymore. It's just these mega
universe
franchises.
Yeah.
Those still, I would say, are cultural touchstones that we all kind of know about and can talk about. But there are less of those than there used to be, for
yeah
sure.
Yeah, like the Marvel Universe thing, that's a niche. I didn't watch a single one of those until COVID, when it's like, I don't know. What do you want to do today, Pinky?
But now you have.
Try to save the world. Let's watch the Marvel Universe. I've watched the Infinity Saga through probably 5 times since 2020 because it's so good. And even the bad movies are good because they're part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift was certainly something like that. But Taylor Swift, in the sense that people are like fanatic about it, but also repulsed by it. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift is a good example because everybody has an opinion.
She is one of those cultural milestone things.
Scooter says, I agree with Annie on this. Villains shouldn't be entertaining. It's not good for our families or our culture. There really is this turnaround, and it really has been in the last 20 years. I would love to see some feel-good, happy ending stories, great characters who are complex. They're not perfect people, but they're good people and they're good to root for. A testament to the people who did the writing and the production and the filming, the directing and everything for a show like The Sopranos. Like, how you could get this person to be rooted for is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
On paper, it's like, how do you pull that off? Game of Thrones, in another instance, has a lot of that as well. We've done, like, that is exhausted now.
I agree, and I'm really torn on that topic. You know, the one you just said, I think it was a Scooter comment, who said that villains shouldn't be
entertaining,
they shouldn't be lauded. I'm really torn on that, because when people make the case that, you know, we should have a clearly defined good and evil, I agree with that. And that should come through your characters, too. But if you want to get deeper with writing and with characters, even with plots, you do need to have characters who are fallible. You can't just have them represent just good all the time or just one thing all the time, even though that is a lot of the ways I write. I'm really torn.
When I'm thinking about the worst slash at the same time best villains that come to mind, the first one that comes to mind is Heath Ledger's Joker. And you've got Batman, who is a conflicted and imperfect Bruce Wayne, And Batman is that version of it, that iteration in The Dark Knight. It's complicated. I mean, Batman's obviously the good guy, but there's a complication to it that's interesting. But the Joker, like, you are entertained by Heath Ledger's Joker for certain. But what is entertaining is the evil that he brings to the character and the demise that you get to witness. You root for the drastic fall and the prevailing of the good guy in the end. You have to have the word entertaining has to be interpreted here. You have to have an entertaining performance with a villain. But there's a different, like, what are you rooting for in the villain? Them to succeed or them to fail? I would like them to fail.
Batman's a good example, too, because there's been so many iterations of it. Nobody's going to look at the Adam West and Burt Ward Batman and go, that was where we peaked.
Nobody?
That was really good. But it's true that there was clear good, clear bad in those a little bit more than the new ones.
And what's wrong with that?
It's not as clear cut as just saying one is fine and the other's not.
And though, you know what Disney has done with all of their movies lately? They've dived deep into relational, familial conflicts to establish complicated villains within a structure that isn't all good. Like, we talked about this when we went and we saw the Hollywood Nighttime show. The villains that they highlight there, they exhibit pure evil. And the triumph over that is what made those classic movies so great. Now you've got movies where it's like, Grandma's a little overextended on her clutch on this family. She needs to be knocked down a few notches. And it's like, I thought this was a cartoon Disney movie. I love Abuela. What are we talking about? We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So at the White House, the Republican senators have been meeting with the president. Of course, a government shutdown is happening. Let's listen
Eric,
in.
Please stand by with us. Let's head to the White House.
We had a great opportunity
to meet with the president and talk about something that unifies all Republicans. Senate Republicans, House Republicans, and the President of the United States are all in favor of reopening the federal government. In fact, so much so that we've now all voted 11 times to reopen the federal government. But the longer the federal government stays closed, the more the impacts are being felt. Travel delays, benefit delays, you know, farmers are being impacted, millions of people going without paychecks. That's what this government shutdown, Democrat government shutdown, is bringing to the American people. So we're hopeful that this will be the week when we break out of this and the Democrats come to their senses and decide to open up the government. We're going to give them several opportunities, as you know, to do that. We'll have another vote on the continuing resolution tomorrow, which is sitting at the desk of the Senate. It could be sent down here to the White House, signed into law. The government would open up immediately. We're also going to vote on a Ron Johnson resolution that essentially would pay anybody who's currently working. So we'll see how the Democrats react to that. But the truth of the matter is, you have a bunch of people here, a united team, that believes profoundly that we need to get our government open. And if the Democrats want to talk about subjects unrelated to the government, getting the government open again, we're happy to have those conversations. But we've repeatedly now gone through this, and at some point the Democrats are going to have to say yes for an answer. We want a normal appropriations process. We want to give them an opportunity to sit down and litigate some of the issues they want to talk about, but that can't happen until the government gets opened up again. Senator Barrasso.
The Republicans here are united, and we're united in standing strong with President Trump. This government has been closed now for 21 days, and the Democrats have had a chance to reopen it 11 times, and each time they voted no. No to reopen the government, no to pay the troops, no to pay the Border Patrol, TSA agents, people who do flight control, all of those things critical for our nation. The Democrats continued to vote no. And why is that? It's because they're afraid, as what one Democrat senator, Senate staffer said, they're afraid of facing the guillotine of the radical left. And who are the radical left? They are the people who would prefer to use taxpayer dollars to pay for health care for illegal immigrants than to pay for the men and women who keep us safe. The Democrats are holding this country hostage. It's time for it to end. It's time to reopen the government for all of the people of the United States.
So we just finished a great lunch with President Trump. There is one central thing that we've repeated over and over again. That is, we want to get this government back open again. 13 times in a row we've reached a moment like this, and each time we've said, let's keep the government open while we continue to be able to negotiate. Democrats this time stepped in and said, no, we want to shut this down. So the consequence of that is now 3 weeks, now federal workers aren't receiving paychecks. Now all the different businesses that are around federal buildings, like restaurants and other entities, those individuals and those businesses are being affected by this. So this contagion is now spreading out across the country. For many people that don't work for the federal government, that don't feel it, but there are many people around that do, and they feel it in a very real way. And this is exceptionally unnecessary. Republicans spoke out loud and clear, even last session, voting to say we don't want to have government shutdowns at all. We want to get this government back open again and get us negotiating and doing the work of the American people. We've been clear on that. We're going to continue to be clear on that. Let's get it back open again.
A couple questions.
Did President Trump offer any guidance about how you should proceed next?
Well, I think that the president obviously is very interested in getting government open. We all agree on that, right? And I think he wants the Democrats to take yes for an answer. We've offered them a lot of the things they were asking for, a normal appropriations process, an opportunity to get a vote on some of the things that they want to see voted on with respect to the expiring Obamacare enhanced subsidies. But that can't happen until they open up the government. So I think the president is prepared to sit down and have conversations with the Democrats, but he knows that before that can happen, we've got to have five Democrats who have a little backbone and a willingness to take on their leadership and do the right thing for the country.
You are now 3 weeks into this shutdown, and the two sides don't appear to even be talking. Do you owe it to the American people to at least be negotiating?
Well, I think we are. We have negotiated. I don't know what there is to negotiate. This is about opening up the government. We have offered them several off-ramps now. The Democrats want something that's totally untenable. As Senator Barrasso said, I mean, they want $1.5 trillion in new spending. They want free health care for people who are non-citizens in this country. That is just a flat non-starter. It doesn't pass the Senate. It won't pass the House. It won't be signed into law by the president. What you do have is a bill that's passed the House, sitting at the desk in the Senate, that the president's prepared to sign to open up the government. So I'm not sure. People keep saying, you know, negotiate. Negotiate what? I don't know what that is right now. The government needs to open up. And then we're happy to sit down and talk about any other issues the Democrats want to talk about.
Does President Trump need to get more involved in these negotiations, though, bringing Democrats to the White House? Would you sit in on those negotiations?
Well, at some point, but open up the government first. I mean, I think the president is willing to sit down with the governments. And yes, I would expect that we would all want to participate in any such meeting. But as we said, open up the government, and that can happen.
Leader, on that front, when was the last time you spoke with Chuck Schumer, and do you believe that the House should come back into session?
I think the House did their work. They passed the bill, and the play, as you all know right now, the action's in the Senate.
And when was the last time you spoke with Senator Schumer?
I talk to Chuck on a somewhat regular basis. We're on the floor all the time. If he wants to talk to me, our offices are right down the hallway from each other. He knows my cell phone number, and if he's got something else to offer up, other than this crazy, unserious, unrealistic proposal they have out there, we're prepared to have that conversation. But open up the government first. One more.
Summit is now off on hold for now. Do you see Putin as the impediment to peace? And is your Russia sanctions bill something that you intend to put on the Senate floor within the next month?
We want to put it on the floor when the White House believes it's useful to them to get Putin to the table and to get a deal that ends the war. So we're prepared to act. We work closely with Lindsey Graham. Lindsey, as you know, is a lead sponsor. He's got 85 co-sponsors in the Senate, Republican and Democrat. So we want to do everything we can to support the president, his team's efforts, and the efforts of our allies to bring this the bloodshed to an end in a peaceful conclusion to that war.
Did the president indicate whether he's pulling Paul Ingrassia's nomination? Did the president indicate whether he's?
I think they'll have something official to say about that, but you know what we've said, and you'll probably be hearing from them soon. Thank you all.
The majority leader, Senator Thune, there talking at the White House after having a conversation with President Trump about what's going to happen. I don't know that there's anything new there. Basically just saying the Democrats need to get on the ball.
Yeah, they said, why don't you negotiate? And he goes, what are we negotiating?
Yeah.
We don't even
We're
know what
they're... We're not asking for anything.
Yeah.
We're asking for what we've been doing. We'll keep doing that. We won't even use this as an opportunity to negotiate something in favor of our favor.
And they're not even talking.
Yeah. He said, Chuck Schumer knows my phone number. His office is down the hall. He knows where to find me. All right. Well, there's that. Let's talk to Congressman Mike Boss next about the government shutdown. Also, he is the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Are veterans being looked after? Mike Boss will know. We'll talk to him next. Don't go away.
That's when she said, I like
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here this afternoon. It's a beautiful day here in St. Louis, and it's a complicated day in Washington, D.C. because the government shutdown continues to loom. Let's talk to Congressman Mike Boss. He is the representative for Illinois' 12th District. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, welcome back. Thanks for being with us today.
Annie, thanks for having me on.
So are you in D.C.? Are you in district?
No, I'm in district. I'm in district. We've been around district. I was in D.C., you know, the week that we had the, I had to go, had my case before the Supreme Court.
Right.
And then was actually worked putting the House in perfunctory session and taking it back out a day or so there. Then got back to the district and have been working around the district ever since.
So talk to me about what you, when you're walking around your district there in the 12th in Southern Illinois, how do people feel about the government shutdown? Are they enraged? Do they want it to end? Do they not care?
If you are a federal employee or somehow trying to do work with an agency that is being affected by it, then you notice it. If you're a federal employee, you're going to notice it a lot more because you're not being paid. We did find a way to pay the our military personnel and our Coast Guard as well, but that was because the president found a way, but he did that for the 15th. But now, as we're moving farther and forward into these pay periods, it's going to stop, and so people that were not in those categories did not receive their pay. And you know, some of these people are fairly new employees; they're young couples with children. So yes, you hear that. But the rest of my constituents, when you talk to them, they're like, it hasn't affected me yet. And I think I've said that to you before, you know, there's a statement about shutdowns. The first day is always the easiest one.
Yeah.
And then it gets steadily worse there every day thereafter. Now, let me tell you that the veterans, we've been able to keep all of the programs. Well, I say that there's a few programs that we're questioning and arguing with attorneys. Can they still go? Because those were there were eight extenders, which included everything from mental health care, private contractors to home care workers, private contractors, trying to keep those things flowing. But as about the 30th, if we're still here at the end of the month, then those are going to have to be adjusted. If we're here on up further than that, then we may start seeing it in our medical facilities. That's scary.
Yeah, that's really scary. You are the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. I was going to ask you that question. You've kind of answered it there. I've heard today, just listening to coverage of the government shutdown, that some people said maybe it'll get ended this week. And then I've heard other people say it's going to be December before this thing gets fixed up.
Oh, I hope it's not December, because if it's December, that hurt and pain will be felt by our veterans tremendously. And you know, trying to receive health care, trying to keep the doors open of our VA facilities around will just become very difficult. And the sad thing is that, remember, the Democrats have voted 13 times before during the Biden administration for this exact same extension. This is a clean, what's known as a clean CR. It just gave us to so that through the 21st. So then what happens is remember, November, if we're here until November 21st, we will have to go back in and we'll pass another bill just like it, but further out, because that's our option, because we can't get in to negotiate on the other issues. And when the Democrats are talking about what they're wanting to negotiate, $1.5 trillion which includes providing health care for illegals. It includes, the list goes on and on of just really bizarre left-wing things. They're really not wanting to open the government back up. But I have to believe that some of those senators, which are in states that are swing states, are going to start feeling it very, very shortly. And we just, as of right now, there's three that vote with the Republicans. I heard that one other over the weekend, she was talking about, she was decided she was going to start voting to open. So we need three more, and then we can open. As of today, it is the longest shutdown in our history. So it is something that we've got to, you know, but let's get back to work.
Yes.
I mean, and not only that, now they've blown 3-week hole in what was our schedule to try to do the budget. Now, understand this, many of us are working through channels to still negotiate. It's just there's no work that can be done on the floor.
So you mentioned that November 21st date. Is the current CR that the House has passed, it's through November 21st, correct?
That is correct.
So if we get past November 21st, there's nothing to vote on because that will be done. The House would have to...
That is correct. The House will come back in on the 21st and then pass another bill. Won't change the bill because it's a clean CR.
When the government is shut down, you're in district right now. If the government were open, would you be in D.C.?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, why is it that Congress can't, like, why is it that work can't be done? Is it just because you have no staff and everybody else has got to stay at home?
The reality is there's nothing to be negotiated on because we cannot. Yeah, our staff is our staff. Most of them are there. They're not getting paid. Unessentials are home. They're on furlough. As far as the opening of the House, many of the operations of the House, there's not people there available to operate and do the processing. So the floor state remains into a perfunctory session, which means you go in, you take communications from the Senate, and you take communications from the President. And that's what I did whenever I turned up the perfunctory session. You say, this is a communication from the President, this is communication from the Senate, and then you gavel back out, and that's all you're allowed to do there. Like I said, we are working in some committee. I've got my committee staff still working because, you know, we've got budgets that have to be moved, and we have bills that hopefully we're trying to put all our ducks in a row so as soon as we walk in, we can actually move things very, very quickly if games aren't played.
Mr. Boss, this is Ryan Wiggins. I get we're talking about a lot of deep detail here, but you're the guy we talked to about that, so I'm going to ask these questions. But what is it that Republicans want to do beyond that clean CR? Because I keep hearing that, you know, that would get us through the temporary moment, but what is it permanently that the Republican side of the House is saying, this is where we need to be to get it done for good?
Well, that is our 12 budgets that we actually are trying to move. Now, remember, we've got about 70% of the budget, overall budget, not 70% of the 12 bills, about 5 of the 12 bills that are moved over, but those 5 carry a majority of the operations of the of the federal government. Those are already over in the Senate to be worked on when the Senate gets through with what they're doing. Now, we're pretty sure we've got an agreement to move those bills pretty quickly after we get back. So the idea of the extension is that, remember, the budget was supposed to be passed by the last day of September. Okay? That's why we had to pass the CR, was because we could continue to operate government on the existing budget while still working on the budget for this next year. And it is... And I think I've said that. I know I've said it on there before. Since the 1972 Budget Act was put in place, there's only been 2 years that they passed all 12 of those budgets. And the other ones are usually passed. They pass 10, they pass 11, they pass 9, and then they CR the others as they negotiate through the next year. So what CR shouldn't be a way you should budget, but that's a pretty common thing.
Well, we're going to let you go, Congressman Boss. We appreciate your time today. The one thing I did want to ask you, though, you have served your country and done so bravely. I just wanted to get your thoughts real quick on the president's efforts in the Middle East, because it's a really big deal. You are the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. There are a lot of people who have worn the uniform here. We're not sending boots on the ground over there, but the commander in chief seems to have done something pretty amazing and unimaginable amazing. Here. What are your thoughts?
I want you to think about this, because if you're my age and are close to my age, your whole life, the joke, and this is not a joking matter, but the joke was always, oh, it'd be easier to have peace in the Middle East. Well, we're almost on the verge of having peace in the Middle East. How amazing is that? They've never seen peace, ever. I mean, maybe, no, never. And now you're talking about all of the already with the Abraham Accord, now with this peace. Now, let me tell you that I believe that I wouldn't trust Hamas, and nor does the president, but it is a case where that's what you got to deal with. And they're showing themselves to the world when they're murdering the people that they believe didn't stand with them, and making a public spectacle of it while we're still trying to go through the second phase and still finish the first phase of the negotiated deal. It is one of the biggest things of my lifetime. And to know that he was able to go in and even get them at the table. Now it looks like that we can complete the deal if we can get Hamas out of power.
Yeah. Trust but verify. It's been said before. Congressman Bost, we're grateful for you. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you.
Talk to you again.
Appreciate it.
Soon. Bye-bye. All right. Do you want to take this all the way to the end then, or what do you want to do?
No, let's just go out here.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Do you approve of Donald Trump's ballroom addition to the White House? Yes or no? Let's find out what Brad thinks about this when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, the YouTube live chat poll. We're asking you about the ballroom. Did I say this on air? I think I did. I would have thought that the White House had a ballroom.
You did say that.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say that I didn't get to when we went into this whole thing about like character arcs and villains and stuff in entertainment culture. I've seen in these different type of White House government DC centered shows how they have to like book places to have events. I'd imagine there's a cost associated with that.
I guess. I mean, unless they're using the Kennedy Center or things that the government
owns. Wouldn't there still be a cost? I mean,
well, I'll just say this. Based on what I know about the government, I'm sure there's a huge cost associated with it.
Yeah, it's like all the no-bid contracts. Brad, your thoughts on this. How do you feel about Donald Trump saying, we're going to do this? He's reshaping the White House.
Well, like you said, I thought that they had a ballroom when I first heard him talking about this. He's like, we don't really have that place to entertain guests. And I think really if the United States has to rent out a building, so if you're going to have in a big group of diplomats or something like that, I think that this is something that is necessary. And now Donald Trump says he's been able to gather private funding and all that other stuff to build it. I'm all for this. I think this is a great idea. I think it's something that the White House needs. I think this is an upgrade to the facility, and there's nothing wrong with upgrading the White House. Many presidents have done that over the year. So I'm all in. I let's do a ballroom. It's a multi-purpose facility.
What do you think, Ryan?
I don't see why you wouldn't do it. I mean, especially the way he's doing it.
He's paying for it.
He's really put this above reproach. It's something that they probably do need there. It is going to save money in the long run. Mm-hmm. And it's not costing the government anything. He's paying for it. Yeah, I mean, it is very true that he's probably wanting to do something permanent, because they'll call it for the rest of the existence of America. They'll call it the Trump Ballroom, and he'll get a kick out of that.
I don't think everybody will.
Well, we'll see how these next 3 years go. But yeah, I don't, even though there's probably a very selfish motivation in some of that, there's really nothing to criticize about the way he's doing it. So,
what do you think about the gold in the Oval Office?
It's gaudy and it's super Trumpy, and I'm fine with it because it's so him. That's what he does.
I love that there are no extra spaces. If you look in the back, he's got all of these pictures up of presidents. But I mean, the room in and of itself, I've been told, is overwhelming. when you walk into the Oval Office, there is a feeling that you get. And I've heard people say that that feeling doesn't ever go away. Every time you walk in the Oval Office, you're like, this is the Oval Office.
That's cool.
But now, like, the Declaration of Independence is in there behind curtains sometimes. Every time we do an Oval Office thing, an announcement from the White House, I'm always like, is the Declaration out? We've shown the Declaration today. How are we feeling? But there, all the different spaces that have all of these pictures. He keeps talking about getting things out of the vault. Did you talk yesterday about they had that Australia ambassador and prime minister or something was in there? Apparently a cameraman knocked a camera into a mirror.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't see that.
And Trump, like, called him out on it.
Really?
He's like, just took that mirror out of the vault. And I guess we just broke that camera, just hit that mirror. It's a shame. I guess these things happen.
Oh, I did see that. I didn't realize that came. Okay, I connected
yesterday.
The dots now.
Yeah. Can you imagine being in there and just being like the camera guy? Or the Australian ambassador, where the reporter's like, how do you feel about the fact that the Australian ambassador said some bad things about you? And he goes, I don't know, who is he? And he's sitting across, he's like, did you say it? Well, I don't like you either.
Yeah.
This, you want to talk about reality TV? This man is that in gold. All right, let's take a quick break. X's and Y's in 30 minutes. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
they
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.